Welcome in. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN, live at Circa. I'm Jeff Parlzimon for Tim Murray tonight. I'll be in the chair tomorrow as well. Tim, a well-earned vacation for one Tim Murray. So Tim will be back on Monday. A good show lined up for you tonight. Our buddy Josh Towers, who actually will be on a desk with me on Saturday for VSiN's Bet Center at 6 o'clock Eastern Time, will be with us to discuss back-to-back days of me being on the show with no hitters. Of course, the no hitter from Rhode Island last night. And if that's a bigger trend moving forward, we'll also get his thoughts on a rule that may come to Major League Baseball sooner rather than later. The former pitcher, Josh Towers, of course, of the Blue Jays. And now with us here at VSiN, will be with us momentarily, John Von Tobel, JVT, talking NBA at 11 o'clock Eastern Time. And then my guy, John Jansen, a Fox Sports gambler. He hosts The Line Change. That is out of Philadelphia. JJ will be with us a little bit after midnight on the East Coast tonight as we're looking forward to bringing you a fun program tonight here on VSiN. But, of course, a small slate of NBA games tonight. The last two, the second half of the NBA games, only four. Milwaukee already handled Atlanta. Golden State's handling Cleveland. But two West Coast games and one just due south of here. The Phoenix Suns taking on the Sacramento Kings tonight. The Suns trying to catch Utah in the Western Conference for the number one seed right now entering tonight. Utah 1.5 games clear of Phoenix. Phoenix wins tonight. They'll pick up the half game and get within one. And they already are one game behind in the loss column. It would be win number 40 tonight as well for Phoenix if they win against Sacramento. Let's look at some props for tonight. Of course, the Kings coming off a loss last night where the Wizards were actually a road favorite against Sacramento last night, and the Kings couldn't cover. Wizards won that one last night in Sactown. There are your props on the screen. Of course, as always, from DraftKings, Devin Booker, the headliner. 27.5 points, his prop there. 4.5 boards and 4.5 assists for Devin Booker. If you're going down the board, De'Aaron Fox, 26.5 points, 4.5 boards, 6.5 assists. The prop I'm looking at tonight in this game actually goes with the big fella for the Phoenix Suns. I'm going to go over 11.5 rebounds on DeAndre Ayton. I expect a lot of misses out of Sacramento. Again, Phoenix, a very good defensive team. The Kings, just they're not a good basketball team. We know this. The full season's worth of sample size at this point for Sacramento. It's Phoenix only 17.5 games clear of them right now. Sacramento's lost 8 in a row. Expect a lot of missed shots and inefficient offense from the Kings. So I like the over on DeAndre Ayton's rebound total. This game also, highest total on the board tonight. It is now actually equaled what Milwaukee and Atlanta is. 235 consensus now, 234.5 action out of consensus number for the total. Sacramento getting 12.5 basically everywhere at this point. You see some 12.5 even on Phoenix at one book here in town. But again, the Kings getting a huge number, the biggest dog tonight. And later in the show, next hour, in the 11 o'clock Eastern hour, I will go into why Phoenix, you should consider them a real NBA, not only a Western Conference threat, but why you should consider them a legitimate threat to win the whole darn thing at this point. And we'll go into that a little bit later, and why, even though, again, you missed the best numbers on Phoenix, why there's still some value if you can get double digits on the Suns to win the Western Conference. We'll get into that a little bit later. The other, we'll get to the Lakers and the Celtics real quick. Celtics, this is ballooned to a 6 last night when we finished the show. Now it's 8.5 action, a predominant number. Some 8 out there as well. 212.5, the total. Celtics laying on the road against the Lakers. Only prop I'll give quickly on that game, I like Dennis Schroeder's point total under the 16.5 tonight. That from DraftKings. That would be the only thing prop-wise I would play tonight in Boston and the Lakers. Our buddy Josh Towers joins us next. It is is the Nightcap here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles in for Tim Murray, a well-earned vacation for Tim Murray. He'll be back next week. I'm in the chair tonight. I'm in the chair tomorrow. We're excited to bring you a fun program tonight. JVT will join us at 11 o'clock Eastern. John Jansen out of Philadelphia will join us at midnight Eastern. But right now, the former Major League pitcher, of course, Blue Jays, Yankees, a few of his stops. And you'll hear him on the network over the weekends on VSiN's Bet Center, including on Saturday. He and I will be gracing this desk at 6 o'clock Eastern on Saturday night. It is Josh Towers. Josh, thanks for being with us tonight, buddy.
What's up, Jeff? How are you?
I'm good. It's good to have you on, Josh. And I just want to get into what happened last night. The second no-hitter in 5 days, Carlos Rodon throws the no-hitter against Cleveland. Just, Josh, so close to the perfecto, the curveball that got away and hit Roberto Perez in the foot with one out in the top of the ninth. Just your thoughts on Rodon's performance last night in the second no-hitter of the year and the 20th in the White Sox history.
Yeah, beautiful. Huh? I'm glad. Like, I landed last night. I went out of the country for a couple days, and I got in at the right time where I turned my phone on, and I got to, I think it was about the sixth inning, I got to start watching it from the phone. So pretty exciting stuff. I mean, you gotta respect the kid, man. This is the hurdles, Jeff, that you know, we talk on air about when we're trying to break down over time who we're going to make bets on, because it's not as easy as just picking a game today and saying, I'll go with this. I mean, you got to factor in so many other things, and sometimes it's history. This kid, Rodon, was a huge high-round draft pick, and rush to the big leagues like they're doing with a lot of players. And sometimes you rush us too fast and the game is too much for us, or all the stuff that comes along with the game becomes too much. And maybe our work ethic goes away, or maybe we fail in a way we've never failed and the rebounding part of it is too hard. I've watched too many people not be able to overcome it. And some people have, and you factor that into this season for him. I mean, this is a kid who they non-tendered in the off season. Every major league team had a chance to grab him, and he was a highly touted prospect. He's still very young, and everybody said no thank you because of what had happened with this kid and all the arm problems over the last couple of years. Again, rush to the big leagues, no time to understand how all this works and development and stuff. And he signed back with them not because it was his only option, but because it was an option, and this is his home, and he had something to prove. And you got to respect somebody who falls flat on their face and doesn't just pack it in and goes, no, this isn't who I am. And he went home and worked, was thankful for the opportunity, and wanted to prove to this team that not only was I part of the reason why we're successful now, but I want to continue to be a part of and reward you guys. And you have to start learning from a whole different perspective. He has a newfound look on the game, and it's showing this year. I mean, he topped out at 99, bro, as you saw yesterday, and it was fantastic. And that pitch that he hit him with, probably even better if you want to know the truth, because not only was it a really good breaking ball that just happened to, you know, almost too much late break, but that's the easiest moment with a perfect game in the ninth inning to where you honestly felt like you lost it, because a no-hitter is still an unbelievable thing, but it wasn't what he was going for in the ninth inning. And so for him to stay that focused after the hit-by-pitch to be able to complete this and be very thankful to his defense for all the plays they made, it's somebody that I would continue to watch just because of where he came from after the failures, as a possibility later on to continue to get good pricing on him.
And Josh, not only that last night with Rodon before, honestly, last night was a big walk guy. His walks per nine, yeah, always near the top of the league in a bad sense. And Josh, just again, I think the biggest thing you just said, the mental toughness, after hitting Perez with a breaking ball that just broke a little too much, that big-time mental toughness to get those last two outs. You've seen guys walk a guy or hit a guy in the ninth inning of a perfect game and then give up a hit right away after that.
Yes. Yeah, and that's the point. That was what was so, in what I saw, that was what was so special about it, is he didn't. And it's like, you honestly, you felt like you lost the no-hitter when you lost the perfect game. And then, okay, my secondary is, my fallback is, I can still get a no-hitter. Like, it's, if I would have known it was a no-hitter from early on, that's what you're going for. But this wasn't. And that's, it may sound crazy to a lot of people, but that mental letdown is a real thing at that moment. And for him not to do it, and again, you saw the plays that his defense made, and he had so much respect for it. But part of the walks is why I preface that story, because it is so hard to go from any amateur to the big leagues, and with the rushing of what they did for him, like, it's easy to, like, you were so good before, but then all of a sudden I get these major league hitters and I throw a couple pitches and they hit them hard over the fence, and now I don't want to throw those pitches. So now my control goes away because I'm gun shy. Now I got to come over that hurdle, plus I got to understand the level. I mean, there's so much that factors into it. And I think now, like, now he finally probably, not because of last night, but now he's probably like, you know what? I feel like I've earned this spot in the big leagues, which is kind of crazy to say, but I feel like that's where this kid's at now.
Josh Towers with us right now here on the Nightcap. Josh hosts VSiN's Bet Center on the weekends. He'll be on this desk on Saturday and Sunday this week, 6 o'clock Eastern time, when you can hear Josh. And of course, Josh pitched plenty of years in the big leagues as well. Josh, I want to go to the Red Sox here. We'll keep it in the AL.
Love
and,
it.
And Boston, horrible start. 0-3, looked horrible that first weekend against the Orioles. And then since then, they did lose today. Didn't get the four-game sweep in Minnesota. But before that, won 10 in a row, Josh. And this is a team that we knew the offense was going to be there. But, Josh, is the pitching that we have seen from this team over the win streak, and even today, they only gave up four to a really good offensive team in Minnesota. Is the pitching sustainable for the Red Sox?
How dare them not go sweep Minnesota on the road, huh? well, listen, it can't be a worse start. You're at home, and you have Baltimore coming in, and you look so bad for three straight versus the Orioles, who sweep you. And it was, everything looked bad. The errors, the offense wasn't there. The pitching was clearly not there. Their pitching coach and I were teammates, really good friends. I love this kid. And we had a brief conversation early in the season, because I was kind of curious too, and I saw some stuff. I remember Richard started, I think, opening day, and he didn't look good, like, to the naked eye, but when I saw a pitch, I was like, man, this kid, he could be back. Like, this could be the Garrett Richards of 14. And I remember their pitching coach and I talking, and I loved what he was saying. Like, his approach, their philosophy on pitching, I didn't expect from the old Red Sox team. And to hear him say some of the stuff he said to me made me very confident that they weren't going to go and whip off 10 in a row by any means, but they were committed to doing the little things that make you successful as a pitching staff that kind of got and get overlooked in today's game. And so without getting too advanced on the analytic part, which they are big on, they were also big on minimizing the mistakes, minimizing the little things that decrease walks and create a little success that, again, you don't necessarily pick up when you're watching the game. So I expect them. I think there's a few teams that are going to be, and they might be on a little better side, but the Giants are always going to put up a fight. They're not going anywhere and dying. And there's some teams like that around the league. And I think Boston's on the little bit better side of, if they buy into this early and they get a couple months of it, then they're going to be a hard team to beat later on, because it just takes a little bit of, yeah, maybe we are this good. And we've seen their failures on the mound in the recent years. But again, when you shift back to the attention to detail on the small things and you put yourself in a position, then you give that offense a chance. They got to start believing early, and maybe they just have.
Josh Towers with us here on the Nightcap right now. I'm Jeff Parles in for Tim Murray. Of course, talking baseball with Josh right now. And I want to keep it in the AL East. Obviously, a very competitive division at the top, especially if Boston is going to hang around here, Josh. And I want to look at the prohibitive favorites in the American League still, and the prohibitive favorites in this division, the New York Yankees, who are off to a 5-7 start, and really another team that has not gotten much starting pitching past Garrett Cole, who's been his usual dominant self. The one concern coming into the season was, can Corey Kluber, can Jameson Taillon, can Luis Severino, when he comes back and pitches eventually this year, can they regain their form, Josh? And so far, at least on Taillon and Kluber, it's been a whole big mixed bag on those two guys so far.
Yeah, and I don't think that anybody expected them to come in right out of the gate in April when it's cold and be back to their dominant self. I mean, Taillon had a little bit, but he's been hurt a lot in his career. And Kluber, we know who he is. I think that if they get what they want, each one of those guys, especially Corey, comes out each game and goes, no, I feel good. I feel like I'm getting stronger. My arm feels great. Then that's kind of what they're hoping for in April. April's tough, man. Like, you're traveling the league, and it's freezing in a lot of places. You know, we tend to forget about that here in Las Vegas because it's 75 today and we're cold, but it's not like that around the country. And coming off of injuries, you know, you want heat. And so if they can stay healthy and each start they feel good and they're making their bullpens 2 days later, then that's a very, very good sign. Because, if you would have told the Yankees that each one of those guys were going to win 3 games each in April, they would have been over the moon, unexpected. So, yeah, with those guys, I think they're fine as of right now. The rest of the team's got to step it up. Listen, the offense isn't very good. I mean, you got Aaron Hicks hitting 3-hole. He's never done anything in his career to warrant that. Giancarlo Stanton, we all know he's not very good, and that's pretty much a free out for a lot of pitchers, and they look at it that way, unfortunately. I mean, if I make a mistake to anybody, Jeff, they're going to hit a home run. So
right.
Who cares if you hit it 400 feet or 700 feet? I don't care. It's counts the same. And so when I look to the offense, I mean, DJ LeMahieu is one of my favorite players in the game. He rakes, but where's my fear? Like, you got names, but once I look past names as a person in the league, then I'm just seeing holes and I'm seeing successes. And you know, they can fear you, but they're going to have to start backing it up. With that said, you're right with the pitching. It's not what any of us expected consistently. And they also have a young pitching coach. So this guy came out of college, I think maybe Michigan, very limited, if any, pro experience. And then you throw him right in the big leagues and you're going to try to have a philosophy of how you recruit high school kids to pitch at the college level, and you're going to go straight to the big leagues, and you're going to have to alter that quick, and you're going to have to alter conversations, and there's a whole respect thing that he has to earn. And there's a lot that goes on with that relationship too. So there's more to the Yankees than just the paper and the names that we see on it. There's a lot of stuff that, and a lot of relationships and trust that have to be built within that team in order for them to be successful. And again, if you can knock out some of the bumps early, and then find that mutual respect later, then they'll be fine. But I hope that they're not approaching the game as if this is our division and we're all pretty big, you know, names and we're good, because they're far from it right now.
Josh, I want to shift over to the NL Central, because one of these, the odds of DraftKings for the division winner surprised me. The Cardinals still the favorite. That doesn't surprise me at plus 180, but Milwaukee is available at plus 225 right now. And so far, again, it's only 12 games, but Milwaukee currently in a tie in the division lead with Cincinnati and a plus 14 run differential so far. And Corbin Burnes has been otherworldly so far in his first three starts, 30 Ks, no walks in those three outings so far, Josh. Do you think Milwaukee's worth the play at that number?
Hey, if I had no walks and 30 Ks on the season, I'd be like 20 starts in. This dude's unbelievable. My 1-2 guy are going to be doing that. And then what? It's tough for me on Milwaukee. I mean, again, their philosophy to the game is tough, and I don't know if they have the depth to match their philosophy of playing with the starters not going deep and the bullpen eating anything. They still have good guys. Obviously, the rookie of the year who's coming in and setting up. But that said, he's in his second year, which is also the hardest year as well. And the more these guys see him, the better he's going to have to get with not only his setup, but like, oh, this is usually I throw my changeup of the situation, but I'm going to throw this pitch and get you thinking. Like, he's got to be willing to do that. So I as good as he is, I want to. We're going to need to see more out of him. And then Hader, you know, the league's kind of come around to him a little bit, and so he's going to have to get a little smarter. The division is kind of up for grabs. I mean, I was a Cardinals guy, Jay, on this division, but it seems like there's a lot of teams in that middle of the road. I mean, there's teams that just flat out can't win, and there's a lot of middle of the road teams that look good, again, on paper, but there's one area that they're missing. It's like the Cardinals look phenomenal, and then they can't pitch. It's like, that's a pretty big part. You guys might want to figure this part out, especially their pen. And sometimes teams have names of players that we know, but their past or not at the level of why we know their name. And it seems to be that division kind of all over the place. I mean, there's bits and pieces that make them successful, the Brewers, and then there's bits and pieces they're not. The Reds look really good offensively with a lot of confidence, and then there's areas that just don't show up. And you're going to need more than one area to show up in order to win this division. And I don't know who's going to step up and do it, but right now no one appears to be up for the challenge.
Josh, we have about 30 seconds since we're on the on the NL Central. Yadier Molina became the first catcher to catch 2,000 games with one franchise yesterday. Is he a Hall of Famer, Josh?
Oh, he's been one. Yeah, it's different. Again, I don't need a catcher to be offensive stud. I don't need you to know his name because of what he does offensively. I need him to know his name for what he does defensively. And then you mix in offense, and then I'm thankful. They are so much more valuable by how they handle a staff and keeping our ERAs down and keeping us in games. He's been a Hall of Famer, and he just solidified it by doing that.
I agree with you, Josh. I think he should be in for sure, and that's going to be a fun debate for some, but you and I see eye to eye on that one. He's Josh Towers, of course, a former Major League pitcher, and now a host of VSiN's Bet Center on the weekends. You'll hear him this Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right from this Circa studio. Josh, thank you, buddy, for checking in with us tonight, and we'll see you on Saturday.
Yes, sir, buddy. I'll see you Saturday. Look forward to it.
Absolutely.
Take care, y'all.
Take care, Josh. Josh and I will have the desk here on Saturday. Looking forward to that for sure. When we get back, we're going to tell you what's going on across Major League Baseball and the NBA today. That's next on a Nightcap. Welcome back to the Indeed.com studio. Are you hiring? Start finding the right people right away. Visit Indeed.com/credit. The show's the Nightcap here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Parles. Happy to be with you. Big thanks to Josh Towers. I always love catching up with Josh. I'm excited to have Josh. Actually, I'll be over there on Saturday. Josh will be in this chair to give you the inner workings of the studio here at Circa. He and I will be on Saturday on VSiN's Bet Center. It'll be exciting. 6 o'clock Eastern time, as always, the starting time for that program here on the network. But let's go through what's happened in the association tonight. Two games, one game final, one about to be final in a few moments. And two games in the first quarter. We'll start in Atlanta. The Milwaukee Bucks. Oh, look who decided to grace us with their presence tonight. Giannis Antetokounmpo did play. Played 25 minutes. Scored 15 points. Milwaukee wins by 11. They covered a 4.5-point spread. 120-109. Game goes under. Big night for Jrue Holiday. 23-4-7 for Drew. As Milwaukee again... they're pretty much locked into the three seed at this point. They're still a betting favorite over Philadelphia to come out of the East. I don't agree with that. I still think the Sixers are much more capable of a run to the NBA Finals out of the East. Milwaukee is two games behind Brooklyn. Could they make that up? Of course they could. The Nets could decide, we're not going to play any of our guys down the stretch. We don't care if we get the two or the three. Home court doesn't matter in a pandemic season where it's just the small capacity anyway for all these teams. But Milwaukee, again, getting Giannis back, a big step in the right direction, who had missed nearly 10 games with that knee soreness. So Milwaukee 120-109 over Atlanta. 28 for Bogdan Bogdanovic, the big scorer for the Hawks, who still sit in the four spot. They may not sit in the four spot by themselves by the end of the night, depending on what happens in L.A., where fans in the building for the first time in over a calendar year at Staples for the Lakers and Celtics. We'll get to that game in a second. The other game that is final, Golden State is a double-digit road favorite. Overnight was double digits. Down to 5.5, they win as a 5.5-point road favorite tonight in Cleveland by 18. 119-101, Golden State led by that Steph Curry guy. He's pretty good. He's pretty good at this basketball thing. 33 for Steph tonight, 23 for Wiggins. Juan Toscano-Anderson at 20 off the bench as well for Golden State. Again, the Warriors trying to stay in the Western Conference play-in chase. With the win tonight, they're a half game behind Memphis for the 8. The big difference between the 8 and the 9 this year, of course. Again, to explain it to the folks who may not have heard the explanation so far. So the top 6 in each conference automatically into the bracket. 7 will play 8. The winner of that advances as the 7 seed. 9 will play 10. The winner of the 9-10 game plays the loser of the 7-8 for the 8 seed in the Western Conference. So a big difference between 8 and 9. 9, you'd have to win 2 to get in. 8, you only have to win 1 to get into the bracket. So Golden State trying to catch the Memphis Grizzlies, who lost on that ridiculous Luka Doncic floater, finger roll three-pointer a night ago. Again, Golden State, a winner tonight by 18, covering with ease against the Cleveland Cavaliers. 119-101 game stays under the total as well. The two other games going right now in the association. Go to Phoenix first. Sacramento, a big dog tonight, 12.5 at the Phoenix Suns. Of course, the Suns need one more win to get within one game of Utah for the one seed in the Western Conference. Phoenix out to a 4-point lead early, a 26-22. That line is now up to 13.5 in-game from the closing 12.5. So you have to lay a point more than you did before the game with Phoenix right now. Scoring-wise, so far 9 early for Devin Booker, 8 early for Mikal Bridges. So a good start for the Villanova product. And DeAndre Ayton again, 11.5 rebounds. The prop we're watching tonight over that has 3 in the first 9 minutes, so not a bad start there for DeAndre Ayton rebounds. Sarge just hit a 3 to put Phoenix up by 7 with 2 minutes to go in the first quarter at 29-22. And in L.A., Boston, all over the Lakers so far, 21-7. When we get back, another West Coast state legalizing and a big contract in the NFL with some books. That's next here on the Nightcap. The spring sports betting action is just getting started, and our VSiN experts are covering early season baseball trends, NBA and NHL playoff races. Plus, we're looking at all the key picks and predictions for the NFL draft 2 weeks from tonight, everybody. We give you all the tools to make the most of every bet, including our 24/7 video coverage, odds and analysis for every game on VSiN.com, our daily members only best bet email, and in-depth coverage of every major event in our weekly publication, Point Spread Weekly. The weather and the betting action, they are both heating up now. So get in on the action. Sign up for your VSiN 10-day free trial today at vsin.com/subscribe. That's vsin.com/subscribe. It is the Nightcap. I'm Jeff Parles in for Tim Murray. Happy to be with you. I'll be in this chair tomorrow. Our guy JVT with us in a half hour. Always fun to talk to Von Tobel. Be a lot of fun for us in about a half hour. But it was another newsworthy day in the world of sports betting. First off, and we'll talk about this a little later as well, the state of Arizona officially legalizes sports betting. Doug Ducey signed that bill into law today. The Phoenix Suns announced a deal with FanDuel to open a book in their venue. But the biggest news of all, though, actually came from the NFL. And we'll tie it in with something that was said in Texas as well later. So the NFL, you can fire it on the screen there. The NFL announces its first ever sports betting partnerships. Hello, DraftKings. Hello, Caesars. Hello, FanDuel. And our producer tonight, Aaron Oster, and I were talking during before the show in preparation. And Aaron and I are in step together. This is probably not going to be the last deal the NFL signs with sportsbooks. And it is just the full circle thing for Roger Goodell in the NFL, who just less than a decade, 5 short years ago, still in court fighting Chris Christie in New Jersey for wanting to legalize sports betting in New Jersey. And the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball, all the leagues, fighting it all the way to the Supreme Court. And, of course, the Supreme Court ruling in favor of New Jersey. And now, with Arizona's legalization today, it's number 27 now. That's I'm no mathematician. There's 50 states plus the District of Columbia. It's more than half now legal. Now states have legalized sports betting. Up from one before the ruling in favor of the state of New Jersey. Not bad. Pretty good over a four-year stretch. But I want to go to Texas, though, because Neil Liebman, who is the president and the co-owner of the Texas Rangers, and Matthew Credell tweeted this earlier covering the Texas legislature and going through hearings, seeing if they want to be one of the next states to legalize. And that would be a biggie, obviously. Texas, Florida, California, the three big ones that we are waiting on at this point. So here you go. The Texas Rangers say that without sports betting, Texas sports teams will be at a competitive disadvantage with teams in states with legal sports betting to the point that they may not be able to spend money on players to match their competitors. This is quite the heel turn, everybody. And look, it's a silly statement from the Texas Rangers, because if really the difference of the money you would make from sports betting impacts the money that you spend on your team, you probably shouldn't be owning said team. But it is truly amazing. And of course, the rumblings out of Texas would be the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones would want to build their own sports book. The Rangers, who are in again based in the same city as the Dallas Cowboys, ball of them in Arlington, would probably hop in along with Jerry and company. But it's really incredible to just see how far this has gone in a short period of time. And look, anyone who is paying attention would not be surprised at the heel turn that the leagues have made, that teams have made, the pivot to we're going to embrace sports betting because we see the dollar signs in our eyes that can come from sports betting. Of course, this all makes sense. It's a little bit of hypocrisy for all those years that the leagues and the teams were saying, we can't have this in our state. It can only be in Nevada, legally in the United States, even though it's a monster in faraway places, because we're concerned of the integrity of sports betting and all that jazz. And now you're flipping around less than 5 years later and telling me without sports betting, the Texas Rangers can't compete with the Philadelphia Phillies, with the Chicago White Sox, with the Arizona Diamondbacks, with the Baltimore Orioles, with Maryland going to be legalized very soon, with the Detroit Tigers, with Michigan being on board. It's just, to me, it is, again, it's not surprising at all, but it is an amazing heel turn for organizations that have been against it for so long. And you know what? Now that it's legal, now that it's 27, again, people were still making their bets here in Nevada. People were still making their bets in faraway places, as much as people want to tell you that people are not making bets in faraway places. But it is so funny to me that teams would have the gall to say what Neil Liebman said in a Texas hearing on sports betting, which, by the way, Texas, get to the party already. Get to the party already. What are you doing? It should be every state should be getting on board as quickly as humanly possible, as correctly as humanly possible. Again, there are some states that will be unnamed that are newer jurisdictions that have sole providers, and bettors are not getting the best in the numbers by far. They're getting bad numbers, and some newer jurisdictions bring in competition. You get better lines, even though we know there's room to grow, as there is in every aspect of this space. Media, books in general, bettors in general. Room to grow always. But it is just amazing to me that the Texas Rangers are like, well, if we don't legalize sports betting, we can't compete with other teams. Come on. Let's not do that. That's just silly. For sure on that. All right, coming up next, a really fascinating few hours and really a week and a half now on the Justin Fields odds on when he's going to get drafted and the third pick overall odds. We discuss them next on the Nightcap. Life is a marathon, not a sprint, unless if you're hiring. Fortunately, Indeed has great tools that help speed up the hiring process. Visit Indeed.com/credit. The show's the Nightcap. I'm Jeff Parles. Happy to be with you tonight. Our guy JVT, Jonathan Montobel, talking NBA in 20 minutes. But first, I want to go to the NFL. I don't know if you guys have heard, but there's this event called the NFL Draft where collegiate players are picked by NFL teams. That thing's in 2 weeks. Last year, obviously the biggest handle ever because it was basically the biggest sporting event to happen for legitimately 6 weeks, because that was squarely at the beginning of the pandemic when everything was shut down. Our producer, Aaron, earlier in the day, Aaron, give me a thumbs up if I heard you correct. Our friends behind here at Circa, Jeff Benson, saying there's going to be 100 players with player position props. Yeah, Aaron gives me the thumbs up. So yeah, so the options coming next week here at Circa to match up with the newer jurisdictions. So that will be a lot of fun to see what Metcalf and Benson and the crew behind us here at Circa come up with for the NFL draft props. But the most fascinating thing. Justin Fields, we talked about it last night, and Justin Fields, last night on this program, was sitting at plus 150 to be the third overall pick, and for his over-under as well of 4.5. As you see on your screen, that's not the case anymore. obviously, our quartet of options, BetMGM, DraftKings, FanDuel, PointsBet on your screen right now, left to right, in the order that I said. Justin Fields is the short shot now, is minus 125 at DraftKings to be the third overall pick. PointsBet is minus 150. He is Hop Mac Jones with the circulation of San Francisco's doing their due diligence on Justin Fields. And look, for me, and there are your odds, actually, I'm sorry, I give you the to go third overall odds over time. That was not the positional odds on Fields. March 29th, so 18 days ago, he's plus 150. 9 days ago, that was the peak. If you grab Justin Fields at DraftKings to go third overall at plus 250, you did a really darn good job. Plus 175. Three nights ago on Monday, on Fields to go number one, or number three, I should say. 14th, that's yesterday, plus 150 to go number three. And then today, as I sit here at 10:48 Eastern time, Justin Fields at -125 to go number three. And it's funny. It's a complete contrast to what our guy Ben Standick told us last night in this time slot when we asked him, hey, what would you do at number three and what do you think is going to happen? And everything that Ben had heard up until last night was Mac Jones out of Alabama going number three to San Francisco. And to me, this, I don't know if this is smokescreen with the movement on Fields. I kind of feels like it is because Mac Jones, again, Shanahan was at Mac Jones's pro day in Alabama. Shanahan, that was 2 days ago, you know, in Columbus for Justin Fields' second pro day. But the steam really coming more than anything because of the seemingly public due diligence that San Francisco is doing on Justin Fields. And again, I'm saying this not as a better right now, but as, again, not college football expert by any means, but the eye test on those two guys for Fields versus Jones. Mac Jones obviously had a great year last year, throwing to the Heisman Trophy winner in Devontae Smith, throwing to great tight ends, throwing, again, only for a few games to Jaylen Waddle, who's going to be a first-round pick in the NFL draft this year. But watching him again and Justin Fields both playing, I know Fields had his struggles. I know he didn't play well against Northwestern. I know he wasn't great against against Alabama, but he's playing that game basically with broken ribs. Justin Fields' ceiling is significantly higher than Mac Jones' ceiling. Mac Jones' floor is probably lower than Justin Fields, but as Aaron and I were discussing during the break, and I want to expound on a point that Aaron was going to make and take it for my own here. Sorry, Aaron. But are we sure that Justin Fields is not safer than Mac Jones? And we have seen this, and again, you can have the same argument for Justin Fields throwing to elite wide receivers and talent at Ohio State. We've seen Ohio State quarterbacks fail at the NFL level. Dwayne Haskins on a second team. Other NFL Ohio State quarterbacks, Troy Smith, again, was a late-round draft pick, but really wasn't that good. You have Cardale Jones, who missed his opportunity to be a top-10 pick, went back to college, was a late-round pick. Last we saw him was in the XFL. But to me, Justin Fields just can do so much more on a football field than Mac Jones can. And again, it's a different conversation in the betting odds right now. If you had bet Justin Fields at a plus money and now could see Mac Jones at a plus money price again, I would advocate for taking a small piece, coming back on Mac Jones and locking in a profit. I'm not usually a hedge guy, but I would do that to have yourself protected. I don't see a path for Trey Lance being number three, unless if this is a pure covert mission by San Francisco's front office and their head coach and Kyle Shanahan. But if we're just talking about this from a football-only perspective, Justin Fields is just a better quarterback than Mac Jones. He's an equally good thrower. He's much more mobile. He can do more on an NFL field. And when you have a coach that is inventive like Kyle Shanahan, keep in mind, this is a San Francisco team. Yes, there are pieces that are gone, but there's still a really good defense. And getting healthy from a year ago, they still have plenty of offensive talent. This is a team two short seasons ago was legitimately one Jimmy Garoppolo good throw away to Emmanuel Sanders on a deep pass from leading the Super Bowl with under 2 minutes to go against Kansas City, who, again, I won a lot of money on that game because of a Kansas City future, and I kept rolling it over. But we were that close to Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan Super Bowl champions. What could Kyle Shanahan do with a quarterback who can do so much more than what Jimmy Garoppolo can do? Jimmy Garoppolo is not mobile anymore. Jimmy Garoppolo is not very accurate. Justin Fields, to me, will be a more accurate NFL quarterback than what Jimmy Garoppolo is now. And not only that, you can sit, again, this goes for Fields or Jones or Lance or whoever they pick. Jimmy Garoppolo, you can still win games with, and you can sit this rookie quarterback behind him for one season. if you can't get what you want out of Jimmy G in a trade market, you can do that. He can get away with it. And it doesn't take away from what Justin Fields can be or what Mac Jones can be. But in the end here, the steam of the day on Justin Fields, if we can fire that one more time on where it is right now, just how it has moved. Justin Fields, less than 24 hours ago, we're sitting here at this desk in these chairs. Justin Fields was plus 150 at DraftKings. He's now minus 125. There are your odds to go 3 overall over time. There it is. Plus 150, 17, 18 days ago. Less than 72 hours ago, Justin Fields was $2 more than he is now at plus 175. Now he's minus 125. A complete swing of the odds. And look, in the end here, if San Francisco takes Justin Fields, to me, they are making absolutely the correct move from a football perspective. And again, I'm not a hedge guy. I don't hedge normally, unless if it's the closest thing I'll normally do to a hedge is going for an in-game middle. But if you have a Justin Fields, especially if you peak the market to go number 3 at plus 250, I have no problem here. If you are sitting there right now in a DraftKings jurisdiction and say, well, I want to lock in a profit, I want to take something to Mac Jones, I have no problem with you doing that right now. I have no problem with you doing that. But again, it's just fascinating to see the movement in such a quick period of time where it's more than anything just we're doing our due diligence on Justin Fields. Not much else has happened to really warrant this move on Fields to go from plus 250 9 days ago on the number 3 overall pick or even, again, 24 hours ago, short 24 hours ago, plus 150 to be the 3rd overall pick, and now you're laying a price on Justin Fields to go number 3 to the Niners, unless, again, if the Niners somehow end up trading out of that thing, which they won't. They traded up for a reason. They wanted their quarterback of the future. They know, all right, well, we can win a little bit maybe with Jimmy G, but we're probably not winning a Super Bowl, and we have bigger goals here with the Niners, and you should with all the talent that San Francisco has. Our guy JVT is going to be with us in 10 minutes. We're going to talk NBA with JVT. I got to ask him about his power ratings. Mr. Von Tobel rating the Phoenix Suns number 1 in his power ratings today. If you're a VSiN subscriber, you can get that all at vsin.com as always. So we're going to talk NBA with JVT next. There are 2 NBA games going right now. Quick updates there. The Lakers have kind of stabilized against the Boston Celtics, trailing 40-34 with 6 minutes to go in the second quarter. And Sacramento is hanging in against Phoenix, 61-59, 2:54 to go in the first half. JVT on the NBA. That's next here on VSiN.